wisdom of mouth and the meditation of all our hearts. Be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, there's a lot in that gospel. I'm going to try to keep it brief and try to explain it. But before I do that, basically we all know that the summary for today is warnings. And it's our behavior. What are our attitudes, and how do we behave during the day, each and every day? Are we focused on God's will or on self? Well, we know we're supposed to be focused on God's will and not complaining. In the column, there's one word I have to call attention to where it says, running to obtain your promises. Well, we can tell we're going to get close to Advent because the urgency in some of the readings we'll see more and more and more because it is urgent. We're supposed to pay attention to Jesus right here and right now and change our ways. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. We're supposed to follow God first. He's supposed to be the most important thing in our lives, and then everything else comes next. So we're supposed to run to obtain Jesus' promises. Running. Not walking, not saying, well, maybe tomorrow or maybe next month. We're supposed to run right here and now. And then the same thing with the Old Testament. It's not a new concept. The same thing. They were complaining about what they didn't have. They were not focusing on what they did have. And I love Moses, and I just can't imagine it. You know, can you imagine thousands of Israelites? And some of my best friends were Jewish, so I am not, you know, slamming the Jews. Boy, those people they're overwhelming sometimes. And they just will keep going and keep going and keep going. And Moses is like, okay, what in the world? Why haven't you listened to my pleas? You know, I'm trying to take care of these people. Did I give birth to them? In other words, these are your people. And last week we had God saying, oh, these are your people. You know, but what did he do? He said, well, get together some of the elders. In other words, it's not just about Moses. It's a group effort. And while Barbara was reading through the New Testament, it suddenly dawned on me because I hadn't noticed it before. Well, they should pray. They should sing songs. They should call. Everybody has a job. Everybody is filled with God's Holy Spirit. And if we do it in a group effort, it works. But then we get into jealousy. Last week we know that the disciples, on their way to Capernaum, they were arguing, I want to be first, I want to be the best, I want to be the greatest. So during that time, the same time when they were arguing about being first and best, they saw somebody casting demons out in Jesus' name, and God forbid, they didn't know them. They weren't, though that man wasn't following them. He was just doing it on their own. And so they were jealous of him because it was working. They didn't get it. And so they told Jesus, they said, well, we tried to stop him. What is Jesus' response? Jesus said, don't stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name, in Jesus' name, will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. In other words, and it's on our bulletin, whoever's not against us is for us. And then he goes on to tell them, for truly I tell you, whoever gives even just a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ, that person's not going to lose their reward. He was trying to change their attitude from jealousy to realizing that whoever does even the smallest good for a follower of Christ will be rewarded. Now, before I go on, I found a story, and it absolutely blew my mind. It just I never even expected the story to end this way. It's about jealousy and rivalry. There is a story about two businessmen who were great rivals. When one got a computer, the other one got two. When one got a cell phone, the other one got two. When one built a storehouse, the other one built two. So one day, an angel appeared to one of them and offered, "You can ask for anything you like, and you will get it. However, your rival will get two of whatever you ask for." "You mean," he asked, "if I ask for $1 million, I'll get it?" And the angel said, "Yes, you would get it. But your rival will get 2 million. So the man said, "How soon do I have to answer?" "I will be back tomorrow morning for your answer." So that night, the businessman tossed and turned and tossed and turned. But when the angel came back, he was ready with his answer. "I will settle," he said, "for one blind eye." That absolutely floored me, that a person could be that jealous, that they would cause harm, total lack of vision for another. And for me, it really reminded me of the gospel. Jesus knew that the Pharisees were always putting obstacles in other people's ways. They were not being good priests. They were making it difficult to love God and to worship God. And he didn't want his disciples to fall into the same trap. So he says to them, "If any of you," and he's talking to his disciples, "if any of you put a stumbling block before of one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea." So we know that a stumbling block is an obstacle. And now we know that the consequences to causing someone to not follow Jesus is very severe. And he goes on. He says, "If your hand causes to stumble, cut it off." And it goes on and on and on. Now, Jesus doesn't literally mean for us to be cutting off our hands or poking out our eye. What he means is, whatever the sin is, get rid of it and stop doing it. And then when he tells us, and if it does cause someone to stumble, or if it causes you to stumble, don't do that behavior. He says, "It would be better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two and be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched." Well, through that whole section, the word hell means, it was translated into Gehenna. Gehenna, in that area, was a place like a garbage dump where they used to burn the garbage. And it was constantly burning. So what Jesus was trying to tell them is, get rid of your sins, or you're just going to be a waste, a pile of garbage, always constantly burning. And the worm shows that there's total decay. So if we remain in our sins, we're a waste of life for the Lord. And we're constantly decaying. The Holy Spirit can't be active because we're constantly focusing on our jealousies, on ourselves, what we want to do, rather than focusing on the Lord. And how does Jesus end? "For everyone will be salted with fire." Salt is good. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can you season with it?
The Holy Spirit is no longer just given for a time like it was in the Old Testament era. God doesn't take some from somebody else and give it to someone and then take it away. At this point, all of us have the Holy Spirit in us. It's the Holy Spirit that's our salt, that's our passion, that's our seasoning. It's the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own like Moses figured out. We cannot do God's ministry on earth alone. It's a group effort, and it's a group effort with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit being active in our lives. So Jesus is telling us, don't lose the gift of the Holy Spirit being active in your life. We can have the Holy Spirit, but we don't always use it. Jesus is reminding them, be at peace with yourself, be at peace with one another, be at peace with God, and use your Holy Spirit. Use what's inside of you, the goodness inside of you, and focus on following me, meaning Jesus. Focus on our God. So what I'd like to do, if you don't mind, is turn to your bulletin. And the prayer of the week just happens, I think, to really be excellent. And I thought what we could do is end with that prayer together. Lord God, forgive us and teach us our generosity again.
Remind us that you are able and willing to do far more than we can imagine.